He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for the good news of thine advent. We thank thee for this ancient prophecy of it. We pray thou wilt illumine our hearts to understand it, and that thou wilt apply it to our lives, all to the glory and honor of thy holy name. Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. This is one of the most beloved images of our Lord in Christendom, our shepherd. In the Old Testament, Jesus was portrayed as a shepherd of Israel, but ordinarily not of individual persons. But as the light of revelation increased, it was revealed that he is the shepherd of every individual believer. Just as a shepherd cares for his helpless sheep, Jesus cares for you and me. In this 40th chapter of Isaiah today, this is the beginning of what is known as the second half of Isaiah, sometimes called Second Isaiah. The first half of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 39, is all pronouncing woe on Israel for their sins, especially the sin of idolatry. But just like in the gospel, after exposing their sins, the second half of this book is the promise of redemption to those who have repented. These verses in this portion have sort of a double meaning. They have a meaning for those ancient Jews 600 years before Christ, but they also look forward to the coming of Christ in prophetic form. The Jews have been told, and when Isaiah is writing, they haven't yet gone into captivity, but they've been told that they're going to. They're going to be carried away and kept slaves in Babylon for 70 years because of their idolatry. But when those years are complete, God has promised to return them to Israel again. And that's a picture of the gospel, isn't it? There's a prophecy of Christ coming to earth. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, and he took them to the promised land, that was a prophecy of God delivering you and me from kingdom of Satan and bringing us into the kingdom of Christ. So that was an historical event, but it was also prophetic. And so God delivering Israel from Babylon was another historical fact, but it was also a prophecy. The church being delivered from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Christ. Now let's begin with verse 1. comfort ye, my people, saith your God. This isn't the kind of language you have in the first half of Isaiah. Not of comfort. This is comforting people who have repented. Note that this message is not for the human race. It's for those who are his people, those who believe. And the human race is sunk in sin and rebellion against God. They're not his people. But there is comfort for his people, for those who believe in him. And notice that he calls himself your God. Before, their gods had been idols. Now Jehovah is their God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is a message of comfort for those ancient Jews. Her warfare is accomplished. The King James margin gives the alternate translation, which is better. Her appointed time is accomplished. That means the 70 years of punishment are over. Actually, when Isaiah was writing, they hadn't even been taken to Babylon yet. But Isaiah speaks in what's called the prophetic perfect. Because it's God's plan, it's as good as done and can be spoken of in the present tense. Another example of that, similar, is the great Advent text, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." It will be 600 years before that happens, but because it's so sure, God puts it in the present tense, as though already done. So he says her appointed time is accomplished. This looks forward to the finish of their 70 years of punishment in Babylon when they are complete. And this punishment has been so effective that when the Jews, the remnant of the Jews, that is, returned to Israel, they never again fell into idolatry. They have repented. And because of this repentance, now comes the promise that their iniquity is pardoned. That's the most comforting message you'll ever hear in your whole life. Your iniquity is pardoned. Think for a moment of the worst sin you have ever committed. It's been pardoned if you trust Christ. Now he says, they've received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That does not mean they've been punished twice as much as they deserve. That would be impossible. What they deserve is to go to hell. It's what you and I deserve. Double in the Bible often is a Hebrew expression meaning a large amount. In other words, the punishment was sufficient to bring them to repentance. And that's why now their iniquity is pardoned. That's true for us, isn't it? The punishment Jesus took for our sins was more than sufficient to pardon all of them. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Well, the picture then to the ancient Jews was God will lead Israel through the desert back to the promised land. But the spiritual meaning is preparation of hearts to receive the Lord. And how do you prepare? We have only to look at the New Testament where it says this prophecy was fulfilled by John the Baptist. And he prepared the way of the Lord by preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So this message from the New Testament, it says, is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." This is not talking about literal geography, but this is using geography to illustrate spiritual things, namely how the Lord prepares your heart to receive him. The valleys must be raised up. Some people are so convicted of their sin and unworthiness, they think God would never receive them. And they must be lifted up by the Holy Spirit to realize that the Good Shepherd will receive them if they're truly repentant. Then it says the hills must be made low. These are people so convinced of their own goodness that they don't think they need Christ. Or they're so convinced of their own worthiness, they think Christ will receive them because they've done so well. But Christ will receive no one on those terms. They must be made low. They must be made to see the heinousness of their sin, to be humbled, to see that they need Christ as a Savior. The crooked must be made straight. The Good Shepherd brings some of the most crooked and twisted sinners to a new life that loves holiness. Rough places plain. The Lord has certainly made some rough people into sweet Christians. You know, my favorite example is my favorite apostle, St. Paul, a murderer of Christians who became the beloved apostle. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The glory of the Lord will be revealed in delivering Israel from Babylon. But the greater fulfillment is the advent of Christ. God walking among the people in the man Jesus Christ. That's when the glory of the Lord was fully revealed. The invisible God, which Israel always claimed to worship, walked among them, revealing God's glory in his miracles and his teaching. And this is not just to the Jews. It says all flesh. That means Gentiles too, like us, will be drawn to the glory of Christ. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. These may have seemed to these ancient Jews promises very unlikely to be able to be fulfilled. But God assures them, if the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, it's true, no matter how unlikely it may seem. And you may take that for your own understanding of the Bible. Any promise in the Bible, no matter how unlikely it may seem, if the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, it's true. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. All people are like the grass of the field. It soon withers and passes away. King David said, surely man at his best estate is altogether vanity. The most important people in the world, the most popular, the most rich, the most famous are like grass. What a picture of human frailty. We wither and fade like when the hot summer wind blows on the flowers. The body goes back to the dust, and the spirit goes to God who gave it. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. People wither and die, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. I thought in this text of when I was in Westminster Theological Seminary back in the 70s, there was a very famous, or should I say notorious, theologian named Bultmann, who was notorious for his destruction of the Bible by what was called deconstruction. While I was in seminary, he died. And one of my professors, Dr. Philip Edgecombe Hughes, an Englishman, he said, Dr. Bultmann now knows better. Some of us said, God deconstructed Bultmann. God lives forever, so his word lives forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Well, the good tidings of these ancient Jews was their return from Babylon. The remnant that returned could assure even the cities of Judah that they, although in ruins like Jerusalem, would be rebuilt. But the fulfillment is the appearance of Jesus Christ in Israel. Zion that bringeth good tidings. Good tidings is another word for the gospel. Remember the Christmas angels? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. When Jesus walked on earth, the cities of Judah did indeed behold their God. The elect among the Jews loved him and followed him. The reprobate, the non-elect, whom God left in their sins, hated him and made it their chief goal when they beheld their God to kill him. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. When the Lord God came to earth, he showed his might by healing the sick, raising the dead, bearing the sins of his people on the cross. By his mighty resurrection, his glorious ascension, the power of the arm of the Lord was revealed. It says his reward is with him. Now, in modern English, reward always means something good. You'd be happy to get a reward. But in the Bible, it could be good or bad. Scripture means reward can mean vengeance on the wicked or blessing on the righteous. The wicked are rewarded according to their works. They get what they've earned, the wrath of God. The righteous are rewarded according to Christ's works, and they're rewarded with eternal blessing. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Jesus feeds his flock like a shepherd. No shepherd will let his sheep go hungry. He makes them to lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside the still waters. He restores their soul. The good shepherd feeds you spiritually when you read the Bible. He feeds you when you sit under the preaching of God's word. He feeds you by the sacraments. He gathers a lamb with his arm. What a tender picture. He gathers the lambs. Sometimes sheep go astray. But if they are Christ's lambs, he'll gather them again. Once truly saved, you're always saved. You'll never be lost. You say, well, I know people who have wandered from the flock and never come back. Christ didn't gather them because they were never his sheep. They may have thought they were for a while. They may have said they were, but they were actually goats. This picture of carrying lambs and gently leading those that are with young shows no matter how weak a Christian is, no matter how needy he is, the good shepherd will provide for him. He will lead us. He'll protect us, He'll provide for us until He takes us at last to heaven. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need Thy tender care. In Thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, Thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast bought us. Thine we are. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast bought us. Thine we are. Amen. How thankful we are, Lord, that we are as helpless as lambs. But we have a mighty shepherd who loves us and cares for us every day of our lives. We pray that we may love and serve and be faithful to Him more and more. Amen.